our lives up before You. We place them before You in surrender to You, to Your will, to Your way. God, my prayer is that each and every one of us within the sound of my voice today will commit ourselves completely and totally to You and to Your service. Lord, that You would have Your way in me and in each of us. Take my life, Lord. Lord, it's not mine, because You've bought us with a price. You purchased us with the precious blood of Jesus, and we belong to You to use us. All that we are, all that we have, and all that we ever shall be, we place ourselves in Your hands. Have Your way. Have Your way in me. May that be our prayer. Lord, as we look into Your Word now, I pray that You would speak to every heart and every life by Your Holy Spirit. That You would move us, God. That You would move us to action. That You would challenge us and change us by Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, one more time, I ask for the anointing and the empowering of the Spirit to be upon me. Lord, I can't do this without You. But I am confident in Your Holy Spirit to preach Your Word as You would see fit. To bless Your people today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. The story that we often refer to as a parable of Jesus. Beginning with verse 14, Jesus tells the story. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off and he dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I've gained 2 more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground. And here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the 1 talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I wonder, have you ever made a financial investment? Maybe in stocks and bonds, mutual funds. Maybe you put your money in a savings account, a CD. Speaking of a CD, a funny thing happened to me. Way back in the 80s, a friend of mine came by one day and he said, "I just bought a CD." And I thought, that was a little strange. Why is he telling me that he bought a certificate of deposit? And I said, "Well, oh, great. I hope you're getting a good interest rate on your CD." And he looked at me funny and he kind of cocked his head and said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, you know, what bank did you get your CD at? Did they give you a good interest rate?" He says, "CD?" I said, "Yeah, certificate of deposit." He said, "I'm not talking about a deposit. I'm talking about a CD, you know, music, a compact disc." You see, back then, I didn't even, CDs were brand new. That was the first time I ever heard anybody buy a CD. All I had were, you remember, some of you are as old as I remember, all we had was cassettes. And before that, we had 8-tracks and reel-to-reel. That was funny. But you know, you invest your money with the purpose of what? Earning interest. Of getting a return on your investment. You know, if you buy gold or silver, or you sell real estate or collectibles, hoping that what you have goes up in value. You put your money in the bank or in the stock market and you hope to gain interest or get a dividend. You sell something for more than you bought it for. The best investment that I ever made, I actually just kind of lucked it. Well, we don't believe in luck. I got blessed into it. Better way to say it. Back in the day, back in the 70s and 80s, I used to buy baseball cards, collect baseball cards. And one year I bought a box of basketball cards of NBA players. And I didn't open them all up. I kept some of the packs sealed and just kind of tucked them away for the future. And a few years later, I realized that in that series of cards that I had, those unopened packs, that one of the cards that was issued in that series was a Michael Jordan rookie card. And so I quit, went, I opened up all my packs of basketball cards, hoping and praying, and yes, there behold, was a Michael Jordan rookie card. And it was in perfect condition. I paid what? 50 cents for that pack of cards? I sold that Michael Jordan rookie card for $600. Now that was a good return in my investment. You know, God does the same thing with us. When we make an investment, we expect to earn interest or receive a return. God does the same thing in you and me. Christ made an investment in you. He poured Himself. He poured His life into you. And He expects a return on the investment that He made in you. The story that we just read that Jesus told is often referred to as the parable of the talents. And every parable that Jesus told is really a simple, down-to-earth story that teaches a powerful lesson. The lesson and the teaching of this story is about God's valuable investment in us. And there's two important words or principles that are involved here in this story. And those words or principles are this: faithfulness and fruitfulness. Faithfulness and fruitfulness. This morning, in the time that we have, I want to talk about the first, and next week we'll talk about the second. The question is, are you being faithful to God's trust? And are you being fruitful with what He's given you? You know, the Bible teaches, can we say, challenges us to be faithful to what God has called us to do, to be obedient to His Word, and to produce fruit, to be fruitful for Christ, to live life with purpose. When you become a Christian, you have a reason for being. There's a purpose for your life. And that purpose is to be faithful and fruitful. To do something with what God has given you. To pass on the life of Jesus to others. To reinvest into somebody else what God has invested into you. And it's significant in this parable that this is really the criteria, and you got to get this, this is the criteria by which we will be judged in the end. So it's pretty important. In verse 14, as Jesus begins the parable, He says, again. That's a direct connection to the previous verses, which are another parable that you're probably familiar with called the parable of the 10 virgins, where 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 wise took along enough oil for their lamps while they were waiting for the bridegroom to come. And it's being ready, being prepared at all times for the return of Christ, being full of His Spirit, watching, waiting, following Him in expectation, and not let our guard down and not become oblivious to what's going on, but to be ready for Christ to return. And both parables really speak of the final separation between those who will enter the kingdom of God and those who will not. And this parable is all about earning a return on God's investment, being faithful and fruitful. So the question is, are you being a good investment? And that's the title of my message today, a good investment. A good investment. The main point of this parable, again, is that in the end, God will commend only those who have been faithful to Him and who have lived fruitful lives for Him. God has invested a great deal in each of us, and He expects us to be faithful and to produce much fruit, to bring a return on the investment that He has made in us, that He has made in you. So as we look more closely at this story and what Jesus is saying to us, what should we learn from it? First of all, that God invests in each one of us. The essence of the parable is that the master, before he went away on a journey, he gave or he entrusted some of his property to each of his servants. Verse 14 tells us, like a man going on a journey, he called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability, and then he went on his journey. Now, in Bible times, a talent was a unit of measure, of weight, a unit of money, usually in silver, and in today's economy, a talent would be worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $16,000 or $17,000. But what's important here is that the master gave some talents, some money, some of his property to each of his servants. Obviously, not just to hold on to it or to protect it, certainly not to keep it for themselves, but he gave it to them for a purpose. And that was to invest the money, to put it to work. The exact amount wasn't important. What was important was what they did with what he gave them. You see, like these servants, we are also stewards of God's property. God gives freely, and He gives abundantly. But it's up to us what we're going to do with it. Think about it, that He has given, He has invested so much into us. It's always for a purpose, to do something with it, to turn it around, to use it in His service, to be a blessing, to make a difference. Not to rest in it, but to run with it. Not to rest in God's blessings, but to run with them. He gives us great and valuable gifts. He entrusts them to us to use for His glory. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You think about communion that we just celebrated together. And it's not only for us to remember what Christ has done for us, but it's also to get us to think again about all that Christ has given. All that He's given. All that He's done. All that He's sacrificed for us. Think of it. His love. Greater love, the Bible says, has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down His life. His life. Himself. As an investment into us. His grace. His mercy. I thank God every day for His mercy. As the song said, amazing, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Nobody's messed up more than me. But by His mercy. His help. His hope, His healing, the power of His resurrection, salvation, the promise of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. I can go on and on and on. But all that He's given, all that He's done. How many know that you're blessed? Let me see your hand. You know that you're blessed beyond measure. How many know that the Spirit of God lives in you? 1 John 4:13 says, "We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit." Let me see that again. How many know that His Spirit lives in you? Well, you know that what that means? Everybody that raised your hand, it means you're ready to invest. You're ready to invest because He's invested in you. Now in the parable, a talent was again an amount of money that the master entrusted to his servants. And God's investment in us can take on many forms. I want to use the word resources. That He gives to us, that He blesses us with, that we can use to serve Him and bless others, that we can use to invest in people. Think of all the resources that you have. Turn the person next to you and say, "He's talking to you." Think of all that God has given you, spiritually, physically. All the resources that you have, spiritual gifts, ministry. I love it when Mel is making the announcements and he's talking about All this stuff, you know, we need help with, you know, with greeters or cleaning the church or the nursery or whatever it is. It's ministry. The wisdom. The years of experience. The knowledge of God's Word. Words that you can use to help somebody. To give direction. To offer encouragement. I want to talk to you senior saints for a minute. We have some senior saints here today. I count myself, now that I'm 60, as a senior. I'm part of your group now. I'm in the senior saint category. So I'm right there with you. But you seniors, us seniors, think of how much valuable knowledge you have. Think of your experience in following Jesus. Think of your faith that's been built up through thick and thin over the years. Think of all that you have that you can share, that you can invest into the lives of younger believers. What a ministry. What a calling. How valuable that is. How valuable you are. Resources of, yes, finances. That we can use to bless the church and the ministries of the church and the programs of the church. Do you know that it's a blessing when you give and it helps us to pay the electric bill? You know, we just got the electric bill for this month. It's over $1,000. When you give in your offering and we can write that check out instead of calling them and say, well, can we have more time, please? That's ministry. That's being a blessing. That's reinvesting. Because next Sunday morning, if we didn't turn on the air conditioning, you would all go home. Think of it. When you give in the missions offering, when you donate to the food pantry, when you help a teen go to the youth retreat, when you help us to help others, what are you doing? You're investing. You're investing. And what interest rate do you get? You get eternal interest. Eternal interest on your investment. It just doesn't get, Tony, any gooder than that. And your talents, your abilities, the things that you can do. Man, I'm telling you what. When Ed and Dan pulled that projector down and they took it back there and they started doing surgery, Daniel was doing surgery on that projector and he took everything apart. There was over 150 screws in that little thing. And I thought, oh my goodness, our patient is in critical condition. How's he going to get that whole thing back together, put that new part in there? And he did it, and it works. That's a resource. That's a skill. I couldn't do that. I could take 150 screws out, but when I put it back together, I'd have 149 left over. He had only 3 left over. That's pretty good. You know, things that you can do in the church to make it better. You know you can make this church better. I do my part. You do your part. We're a family. We're a team. We all do our part to invest in the community, in people's lives, ways that you can bless and serve others. You have a great resource of time. What are you doing with it? Because your time, you won't have it forever. You won't have it forever. The point I'm making is simply this, that no Christian, somebody say no Christian. No Christian is without an investment of God's resources that they can use to reinvest into the kingdom. Now note that the master didn't give the servants all the same amount. The important thing was not how much they got, but rather how much they earned from what they were given to give back to the master. See, the master was concerned only with getting a return on his investment. He was concerned with what his servants did with what they were given. The exact resources may be different for each of us. Daniel had a resource of fixing that I don't have. And there are some things I can do you can't do. Vice versa. Our resources may be different for each of us according to God's choosing. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned." Or we would say, as He divvied it out. Acts 11:29 says, "The disciples, each according to his ability, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea." It's not how much. It's what you do with what you have been given. What are you doing with what God's given you? How are you using His gifts? What are you doing with the resources that He has invested into your life? The important thing is that we do something to give back to God. See, the truth is this. God will hold each of us responsible. God will hold each of us responsible for what He's given us, for what He has invested into our lives. And then, God expects us to be faithful with His trust. In the parable, all three servants are given property entrusted into their care. And the master gave them part of his wealth, not only to watch over it, but to invest it. Not just to keep it safe until he returned, like the one who buried his in the ground. And the master wasn't too happy with that guy, was he? But they were to take what they were given and earn more. To use his blessings to produce something valuable. Do you know that each one of you has been blessed and given by God so that you can be faithful to his trust and return to him something valuable? You are valuable to God. And you can return to God something very valuable. Now only two fulfilled the master's purpose and brought a return on his investment. And they were praised as being faithful. The one who was given five, the master comes back in verse 21. After he says, "You entrusted me with five talents, I've gained five more." His master replied, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." In verse 23, the same thing is repeated to the one who was given two and returned two more. You know, I think when God goes into a restaurant and He orders a burger or a steak, I think God always orders it well done. Because those are the kind of servants that He's looking for. People that He can commend as well done. As well done. You've done a good job. You've done exactly what I've asked, what I've expected of you. You've fulfilled my purpose for your life. You've been faithful with what I gave you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, God is always looking for people who will be faithful. What is a faithful Christian? A faithful Christian is one who can be counted on no matter what. A faithful Christian is one who is fully committed, who keeps their promises in spite of adversity. Sadly, too many today are only fair weather Christians. They keep their commitments only when when all the planets are lined up, I guess. When everything is going well, when it's not too hard or inconvenient. You know, when we get married, it's supposed to be for keeps. Many don't look at it that way today, but God sure does. We make a firm commitment. What do we say? For better or for worse? For richer, for poorer? In sickness and in health. I should add to that for gooder or for badder. But it's for life. What about our commitment to Jesus Christ, to the church, to others? To be faithful means we keep to the task. We stay true to God all the way to the end. We're dependable. We keep the commitments that we've made. We always do what we say we're going to do. A faithful servant is the person that God wants them to be, who does what God wants them to do. They stay on mission. They don't let the devil distract them or take them off course. They don't let life get in the way. They don't seek their own good, but they seek the good of others. A faithful servant is always looking for an opportunity. They're always looking for an opportunity to use their God-given resources to bless somebody else. That's a faithful servant. Looking for ways to invest in God's kingdom, to invest their life into the life of somebody else. Somebody who wants to be a part of what God is doing. That's a faithful Christian. Can I challenge you to be a faithful Christian? To be a faithful, committed Christian. And can I come back to the senior saints for a minute? Of whom I am one? Can I challenge you? Find a younger believer. Are you with me? Find a younger believer and invest your life into them. Because you have something to give. Something they need. Find a younger believer and invest your life into them. Because faithful servants are the only ones who will hear God say, "Well done, come on in." As we draw this message to a close, I want to ask you this question. Which of these servants in the story are you like? They were all entrusted with the master's property. They were all expected to earn a return on his investment. So are you. So are you. We've all been given resources to invest, to do something with, to give back to God. We've all been given so much. What are you doing with God, what God's given you? Are you being faithful? Can God count on you? Are you true to your word and the commitments that you've made? Are you being faithful with what you have? Are you looking to invest? Let me tell you, when you look for opportunities, God will bring them to you. But you got to be looking. Got to be looking. Are you looking to invest? You know, if somebody came up to you today and said, "You have a $10 bill," say, "Why?" Well, because I got a sure thing going that I guarantee you that your $10 will become $1,000 in 2 weeks. Now, once you got past it, it's too good to be true, and you were sure of the investment, every one of you would do it. Well, guess what? God is saying, invest into my kingdom, because I guarantee you it's going to multiply into eternal dividends. And it's a sure thing. Are you looking to invest? Do you live only as a recipient of what God has done for you? Or do you see yourself as one who has something to offer, something to give? You have been given much, so you have much to give. And I'll close with this. A true Christian makes a difference. A true Christian makes a difference. They take God's investment in them, and then they reinvest it in the life of someone else. They use their God-given resources to make an eternal investment in the kingdom of God. Remember, my friends, only what you do for Christ, only what you invest into the lives of others will last forever and bring you a well done, good and faithful servant. Listen to this song by Micah Tyler, and then we're going to close in prayer.
I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day. I can't stay the same. I wanna be different. I wanna be changed. Till all of me is gone. And all that remains is a fire so bright. The whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. And I don't want to spend my life stuck in a pattern. And I don't want to gain this world but lose what matters. So I'm giving up everything because I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me is gone. And all that
Heavenly Father, my prayer for this church for myself, for each and every one of us, is that we would be different. Lord, so that we can be used by You to make a difference. Lord, You saved us. Lord, You gave us new life in Christ. Not that we can rest in it, but that we can run with it. To make a difference. To change this community and this world. Lord, my prayer is that we would be changed. That we ourselves would be changed more and more into the image of Christ so that we can become agents of change. Use us, Lord, for Your honor and glory. Lord, it's not about us, it's about You. God, that it would be less of me and more of You, less of us and more of Jesus. You've given us so much. You have poured so much into us. You have invested in us. And You want us to be faithful and do something with what You've given us. Lord, You want us to bring You a return on Your investment. Lord, we don't want to face You empty-handed. But we want to say, God, here's what You gave me. And I did something with it. And here it is, Lord. I lay it at Your feet. I didn't do it for praise or glory. I did it for You, Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would change this church and that You would make us into people who want to see others changed. Help us, Lord, to be serious about our faithfulness and our commitment. In an age where people just aren't committed anymore, they're not dependable anymore, God, make us committed. Because, Lord, You're going to hold us responsible in the end for what we did with what You gave us. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to understand that what we invest into Your kingdom is the greatest investment we could ever make. One that brings eternal dividends and changes people forever. Change us, Lord. And help us, Lord, to be the people that You've called us to be. Make us faithful because we want to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in Your Master's happiness. Thank You, Lord, for all that You have done for us. And I pray, God, that we will take it now and multiply it by Your power and Your grace into something beautiful for You. Bless Your people. Bless this church. If there's anybody here who has not made a commitment to Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that they won't wait another moment, but that they'll turn their heart and life over to You right now as You offer them the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody struggling and on the fence, and they've been back and forth, wishy-washy, God, fair-weather Christians, I pray, God, that You would that will bolster their faith and make them into committed, solid believers, God, looking for opportunities to invest as we all should. Be with us now, we pray, and use us for Your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The altars are open. If you would like to come and find a place of prayer, you are free to do so. But God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Great to have you at Gateway today.
Staring in the face of fear that has you come.